Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our text is from Ephesians chapter 4. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Look how Paul describes the Gentiles in this chapter. Gentiles meaning unbelievers. They walk, they live their lives, in the futility of their mind, their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God. Sounds bad enough, but it gets worse. You can see the progression in society today. Many people consider themselves to be Christians, or maybe not, but they do their best to live according to some of the Ten Commandments that they deem important or appropriate, granted that the goal may change occasionally depending on the pressures of society or what happens in their own personal life. In other words, they build their moral code on some of the law of God in the Bible, but most of it comes from within inside of them. But they only know the law and not the gospel. They do not truly know God because they do not truly know Jesus. That leaves their understanding darkened. The law doesn't give life, so they are alienated from the life of God, even though they may feel very much alive. Cut off from that life because they do not know the gospel. It is only a matter of time until they begin to lose the law too. If not them, their next generation. Eventually, the law of God is lost as people revel in sinfulness. That's what Paul says, and you need only open your social media or watch an hour of television, if you can stomach it for that long, especially this last month, to see this divinely inspired observation confirmed as absolute truth. Slander, gossip, anger, hatred, and true despising of our neighbor. And we find ourselves sucked into this level as well. We look at ourselves and see how we too have been tempted to retaliate to this evil with evil. We are angry and we want to lash out. And as Paul warns us in our text, then we give opportunity for the devil. Well, what's the cause? Why the alienation and uncleanness and all of this? The answer is clear in verse 18 of Ephesians 4. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Again, if they do not know the gospel, they do not know Jesus. They might know of him, but they do not know him or believe in him. Without his gifts of faith and grace, they have no life in him. That's why the ignorance. That's why the futile mind and blind heart. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. There's one time on earth is spent only in committing acts of death. Christ and his forgiveness bought by his blood on the cross are the key. Now that's how you and I began. However, we too were conceived and born in sin. It doesn't matter if we could help it or not. It's simply the truth that God declares. A baby born without sight cannot help being blind, nor could we help being born with a blind heart. That's how it is in a sinful world. And as we look at this description of our text of unbelief, we see a true depiction of the world. We also give thanks to God that he has delivered us from death to life for Jesus' sake. Set free from sin, we purpose our life to live according to God's word, free from holding those grudges, free from being so angry that we lash out or it turns us upside down, inside out, our stomach even hurts. and produces corrupting talk. And we hear our Lord exhort us through his apostle, "But have you not so learned Christ? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, then you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is where the law bites, and where the Lord bids us to examine ourselves and repent. You've been recused from that old man you once were, with the futile mind and the blind heart and the tendency toward lewdness, uncleanness, and evil speaking. In Christ, you are a new man, crucified with Christ and raised up again in your baptism, set free from sin. There simply is no more excuse for sins of those described in our text. So watch out. Your old man is still around, and he wants you back. He's always at work, the work of corrupting you. For the rest of your life in this world, your old sinful flesh will work subtly with the devil and the world to try to get that foothold. He'll use temptations of falsehood, gossip, anger, acted out in sin, grudges, and all this corruption talk. There simply is no excuse for believers to indulge in such sins, because we have been set free from them. But then now we know we are said to be holy. Well, how can that be? What's the cause of holiness when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see in ourselves this sinfulness? What makes you holy? Better, who makes you holy? Well, no one else but the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ. He does not make you holy by teaching you to do better or to refine yourself and make yourself pure. Instead, he declares that he has gone to the cross and died for those sins. Therefore, he forgives you. He removes all the impurity and unholiness and unrighteousness. It's his grace that makes you holy and righteous. It's his grace that makes you the new person. You know that. That's why you're here. But be aware, because our epistle mentions that and reminds us that we too are those persons born spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy of God. But we are reminded that we cannot make ourselves new. So here we are. There you are every morning in your devotions, on your knees, praying to hear the Lord's gentle direction that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind as you put on the new man every day that was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off that old unholy man. Put on the new righteous man. This is not a law command, a requirement that you must do to be saved. Rather, it's like the Lord saying, "Be healed." Here he says, "Be my work and word. Be rid of your sins." This putting off and putting on is precisely what happens here as we gather in the presence of the Lord. It happened at your baptism. What a true gift, an example of what it's all about. There Jesus shared his death and resurrection with you. You were buried with Jesus and raised up again, says Romans 6. The old you was killed and the new you was raised up. Jesus put off your sin and put his righteousness on you. He declared, "Old Adam will still try to tempt you to give up this life, but be assured that this day I have made you my own, and I make all things new." It happens in confession and absolution. What a gracious gift we often overlook. By the grace of God, when you confess your sins and the Lord forgives you, he puts off your sin, sent that old Adam away, and put on that new righteous person, and says, "Remember that in your baptism you were crucified with me, but by my grace and through Jesus I now dwell in you, because I am with you. You are righteous and holy. You are forgiven." And the Lord's Supper. To his people properly prepared, Jesus says, "You are no longer lost in your sin. By my word, you know me, and in this supper, I declare that I know you too. I have died and risen for you, and here I give you my true body and true blood for the forgiveness of sins. Here again, I give you my holiness and righteousness." It's by that forgiveness that Jesus makes you holy and righteous. It's by that forgiveness he renews your mind. We come back to Jesus where we know he is, in his word and sacraments. He puts off that old man and clothes us with himself. So, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we travel through this veil of tears and we see the hate and the anger and all that sin around us, and yes, even within us, we rejoice that the Lord has rescued us from the futility of unbelief. We are aware of the temptations that the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh will use to blind our heart again. But rejoice to hear God's word of law and gospel for you in this text, that you trust not in yourself, but in Jesus, who makes you holy and righteous, for you are forgiven of all your sins. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.